Creating a vision. Creating pictures of the future. Vision is the art of seeing things invisible. Jonathan Swift. By Larry Holman. A productivity dispatcher was sent to a construction site in France during the Middle Ages to interview the laborers. He approached the first worker and asked, "What are you doing?" "What are you, blind?" the worker snapped back. "I'm cutting these impossible boulders with primitive tools and putting them together the way the boss tells me. I'm sweating under this blazing sun. It's back-breaking work, and it's boring me to death." The dispatcher quickly backed off and retreated to a second worker. He asked the same question, "What are you doing?" The second worker replied, "I'm shaping these boulders into usable blocks, which are then assembled according to the architect's plans. It's hard work, and sometimes it gets repetitious, but I earn 5 francs a week, and that supports my family." Somewhat encouraged, the dispatcher went on to a third worker. "And what are you doing?" he asked. The third worker beamed, stood up, and lifted his arms to the sky. "Why, can't you see?" he said proudly. "I'm building a cathedral." That story, which I ran across several years ago, illustrates the power of long-term goals to pull us through the tedious routine of day-to-day activity. On a grander scale, it's a story about vision. We might define vision as a picture of the future, or as the ability to create such a picture. This ability is an essential quality of a leader, and it is the heart of a successful organization. An organization must have a vision of what it is, what it stands for, what it hopes to accomplish, and how it plans to go about accomplishing these objectives. These things define the organization's overall purpose, its very reason for existing. Without a meaningful vision, an organization cannot survive. If this vision is compelling enough to other people and is clearly and meaningfully communicated to them, the chances are good that they will be motivated to do their part toward making that vision a reality. Organizational and individual goals will be set as increments toward the eventual realization of the vision. Generally, the organization's vision is determined by its leaders. All true leaders have visions. They know where they're going, and they have a pretty good idea of how to get there. In time, they will get there. These leaders are able to empower others to set goals that coincide with theirs. They allow other people to envision in their own way the visions of the leaders. The basic purpose of a leader can be stated as dreaming a dream and then making it come true. In other words, a leader should develop a clear and worthy vision that will motivate other people, and then he or she must maintain focus on it and oversee the work as that vision is transformed into a reality. As my friend Dennis Waitley has said, leadership is a total commitment to purpose, along with the persistence to see it through. Leaders should be able to judge the progress of a vision. They must ask, where is the organization now in relation to its goals, and where should it be? This means leaders must have an ability to focus on the long term as well as the short term. Success is more likely when individuals at all levels of the organization also can see the short-term and long-term goals and effects in relation to what they are doing. This requires that leaders be decisive. Those who are unsure about their visions will have a difficult time convincing others. Leaders must also be able to adapt their visions as needed to remain relevant in a changing world. Adaptability can be one of the true tests of leadership, because most people resist changing the status quo. Visionary leaders anticipate change and then position their organizations to meet it. These changes often involve risks, but leaders welcome risk and encourage followers to accept the challenge. As a leader continues to develop a vision, he or she must keep in mind the benefits of other opinions. A dissenting view should not be taken as a personal attack, but as information to be considered and perhaps incorporated into the vision. As one business leader commented, "To develop vision, we must not only listen to those who disagree with us, but seek them out. We have to find out what other points of view are all about and take them seriously." Of course, those other points of view should not deter the leader who truly believes in a vision, even when others cannot be convinced. The pages of history are filled with the stories of visionaries who, in their time, were branded as heretics, lunatics, and worse. The book His Gadget, The World, by Harlan Manchester, tells of an inventor who faced time in jail simply because other people could not see his vision. The man, charged with fraud, was being tried in federal court in New York. The prosecutor took every chance to scorn the man and his invention, a glass gadget resembling a small light bulb. With sarcasm dripping from his voice, he told the jury that the defendant had sold gullible investors on the preposterous claim that his worthless device would someday transmit the human voice across the Atlantic Ocean. The prosecutor urged prison terms for the man and his partners, but although two of the inventor's associates were convicted, he got off with a stern lecture from the judge. In time, Lee DeForest had better luck convincing others of the benefits of his worthless glass bulb, the Audion tube, which laid the foundation for a multi-billion dollar electronics industry. Vision, as seen by Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey likes mission statements. In The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he stresses the importance of habit 2, begin with the end in mind. The most effective way I know to begin with the end in mind, he writes, is to develop a personal mission statement or philosophy or creed. It focuses on what you want to be, character, and to do, contributions and achievements, and on the values or principles upon which being and doing are based. Similarly, Covey believes strongly that mission statements are essential to the development of effective families and organizations. What is one's reason for existing? The answer will inform one's vision, which in turn can be communicated through a vision statement or mission statement. In a recent interview, Covey discussed his thoughts on such topics as creating mission statements, communicating an organizational vision, and getting people to buy into it as if it were their own vision. The question from Lessons in Leadership. In making a vision statement or mission statement, what is essential? Are there any traps to avoid in making such a mission statement? Stephen Covey. There are two basic essentials. First, that there is some kind of sense of what you're about, a clear picture of the end in mind. Call that a vision. Then the sense of how you go about it. That's the value system. Hopefully those values are based upon natural laws or principles. That is essential. So you write a mission statement so that it is timeless, that it will never change. In fact, as you mature, it may evolve and change as your consciousness and awareness grow. But you write it as if it will never change. You should also deal with all stakeholders and all four needs, the economic, the relationship need, the growth and development need of people, and the need to add value or make a difference. I call these to live, to love, to learn, to leave a legacy. The main traps to avoid are these three. Don't announce them, don't rush them, and don't ignore them. In other words, they shouldn't just come from above, from Mount Olympus, and they're announced. They shouldn't be rushed. Everyone should be involved in the process. The process is as important as the content. And once they're developed, they should be used like a constitution, as the supreme law of the land by which all decisions are made. Lessons in Leadership. How do you keep vision from becoming dogmatic? Stephen Covey. By involving everybody, the initial vision may come from one person and from the unique gift of that one person. But that person needs to cultivate a relationship through example and through modeling and mentoring so that there's identification with that person's vision and people buy into it as if they had developed it themselves. Identification is as powerful a psychological process as involvement is. And if there is great respect for the visionary and the buy-in to the vision, it's as if it's your own vision. Lessons in Leadership. How do you synergize vision among all employees? Covey. There are many ways to do this. The key thing is that they are informed about what the reality is in and out of the industry, in the economy, as well as in the business, and that they feel they are part of the process. It's kind of a top-down, bottom-up approach. Or you could have a bottom-up, top-down approach. You could develop a rough first draft mission statement, send it to everybody, and say, "This is the best we could do, but we don't have your input. We need your input. What do you think? What are your views?" And then when that input comes in, respect it. Adapt the mission statement accordingly. Little by little, people will say they're sincere, and then they will gradually begin to buy into it. particularly when they know that it will pertain to everyone, that no one is exempt from it. Lessons in Leadership. Once a vision is shared, how does a leader sustain it? Covey, by living by it, himself or herself. No one is above these natural laws or principles. They ultimately control, not the so-called boss. So the boss has to model it, live by it, admit mistakes when the boss doesn't live by it, and then articulate it. Be the courageous spokesman of it. Let it be the criterion by which all decisions are ultimately made, like the constitution of a country, which may invalidate state statutes because they are unconstitutional. Lessons in Leadership. Would you explain the concept of future forward role images and its impact on leadership? Covey. Well, the role of the business is called the mission. The future forward role of the individual is their stewardship, which contributes to that mission. This future forward concept of vision and mission for an organization and the individual is the essence of leadership itself, particularly if you can get a culture where they all have the same vision and the same underlying value system. And it comes out of leadership, and it also informs and directs leadership. So it has enormous impact on leadership. But also, it is enormously impacted through that kind of proactive visionary, future-forwarding vision. Lessons in Leadership. Please comment on collective vision and its importance to business and civilization. Covey. The great sociologist Emile Durkheim put it this way: when mores are sufficient, laws are unnecessary. When mores are insufficient, laws are unenforceable. When you get sufficient collective conviction around a value system and around a vision, you've got the essence of dynamic momentum into the future. And if it's also related to the wider conscience of society, you will have lasting impact. Hitler and the Third Reich had such a collective vision and such momentum, but did not have conscience. And it was so repugnant to the conscience of the international community, eventually it was destroyed. For many years, and even to this day, it has powerfully impacted our entire world. Lessons in Leadership. What part does conscience play in developing personal and professional vision? Covey. It's fundamental, because I'm convinced that our missions, our visions, are more detected than invented. They're more a product of our conscience and what life is asking of us and what responsibilities have been given to us, what our stewardship really is, than it is a product of just our own imaginative, generative minds to produce it. In other words, we ask the question, what is life asking of us? Instead of, what is it we are asking of life? There are two different approaches to these questions. Viktor Frankl is a beautiful illustration in the death camps of Nazi Germany. He couldn't have any impact on his environment, but he could have an impact on his response to his environment by asking the right question, which was, what is life asking of me? And then he detected his responsibility, what he needed to do, his stewardship, and he responded to it. So conscience is supremely important. Conscience is also universal. It is the light that has been given to every person that comes into the world. There is an innate sense of what is right and what is wrong, and there is a moral sense. We're essentially moral beings. You cannot have high trustworthiness if you do not have high integrity. It's like trying to talk yourself out of problems you behave yourself into. Organizational Vision as a Force Field, by Margaret Wheatley. The impact of vision, values, and culture occupies a great deal of organizational attention. We see their effects on organizational vitality, even if we can't quite define why they are such potent forces. We now sense that some of the best ways to create continuity of behavior are through the use of forces that we can't really see. Many scientists now work with the concept of fields, invisible forces that structure space or behavior. I have come to understand organizational vision as a field, a force of unseen connections that influences employees' behavior, rather than as an evocative message about some desired future state. Because of field theory, I believe I can better explain why vision, the need for organizational clarity about purpose and direction, is so necessary, and this leads me to new activities to strengthen its influence. In linear fashion, we have most often conceived of vision as thinking into the future, creating a destination for the organization. We have believed that the clearer the image of the destination, the more force the future would exert on the present, pulling us into that desired future state. It's a very strong Newtonian image, much like the old view of gravity. But what if we changed the science and looked at vision as a field? What if we saw a field of vision that needed to permeate organizational space, rather than viewing vision as a linear direction? If vision is a field, think about what we could do differently to create one. We would do our best to get it permeating through the entire organization so that we could take advantage of its formative properties. All employees in any part of the company who bumped up against that field would be influenced by it. Their behavior could be shaped as a result of field meetings, where their energy would link with the field's form to create behavior congruent with the organization's goals. In the absence of that field, in areas of the organization that hadn't been reached, we could hold no expectation of desired behaviors. If the field hadn't extended into that space, there would be nothing there to help behaviors materialize, no invisible geometry working on our behalf. In a field view of organizations, clarity about values or vision is important, but it's only half the task. Creating the field through the dissemination of those ideas is essential. The field must reach all corners of the organization, involve everyone, and be available everywhere. Vision statements move off the walls and into the corridors, seeking out every employee, every recess of the organization. In the past, we may have thought of ourselves as skilled crafters of organizations, assembling the pieces of an organization, exerting our energy on the painstaking creation of links between all those parts. Now we need to imagine ourselves as broadcasters, tall radio beacons of information, pulsing out messages everywhere. We need all of us out there, stating, clarifying, discussing, modeling, filling all of space with the messages we care about. If we do that, fields develop, and with them, their wondrous capacity to bring energy into form. Excerpted with permission from Leadership and the New Science, Learning About Organization from an Orderly Universe, by Margaret J. Wheatley, 1992-1994, Barrett Kaler Publishers, San Francisco.